Only in Washington, D.C. could politicians come to the floor and brag about cutting $9 billion from rural radio stations while they 2 weeks ago voted to increase the deficit by $4 trillion. $4 trillion. It's shameful. This bill is a war on rural America. They are closing rural hospitals by virtue of the bill they passed 15 days ago, and now they will close rural radio stations. Rural radio stations across the country that help constituents during wildfires and during floods.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
It should be rejected, Mr. Speaker. I yield back.
And that's not all they're doing to your public airwaves.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast. As heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Elsewhere in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP. Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV. Out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets and the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me. From bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. Given the overwhelming coverage over the past week of Donald Trump's efforts to put the, well, to put the Epstein Files toothpaste that he released back into the tube, an effort that seems frankly doomed to fail, at least as long as right-wingers themselves are still outraged about it. As usual, you know, it doesn't matter what those of us not on the right care about. The corporate mainstream media covers what the right is upset about while usually dismissing the left entirely. And, well, that's about to get much, much worse, as I will discuss in a moment. But given the focus, and in this case, I think, understandable focus on Donald Trump's desperate efforts to shut down the entire Epstein Files matter, all but making obvious, even to previously oblivious MAGA folks, that Donald Trump, yes, is named all over those files and does not want that information to come out now that he's used it to become elected to a second term. Now, nothing to see there, I guess. Given all of that, I'd not be surprised if you all have some thoughts on the Epstein case today, and I will welcome those thoughts. If you'd like to ring in to talk to me about it, talk to us over your public airwaves at 818-985-5735. If you are in our live Southern California listening area or listening anywhere across the globe on our live kpfk.org web stream. There is, of course, other stuff going on today that you may wish to talk about as well. A lot of it we simply don't have time to dive into. I don't have time to dive into it today, but we'll, as usual, try to move through some of it on this program each day as the week continues. I hope you will join us. But I do need to talk about something else first that, yes, is wrapped into all of the above and wrapped into our ability to discuss it, to report it to you, to your ability to even know anything about all of these things, which in one sense, you know, kind of all of Trump's the specific news stories that we might otherwise be talking about today and in the days ahead. This story seems like, pun intended, it trumps all of those stories. So let me start. Allow me to start here. When a 7.3 magnitude earthquake rumbled beneath the Bering Sea last Wednesday, 50 miles south of Sandpoint, Alaska, authorities sent their first tsunami warnings directly to the nearest public radio station, KUCB, in the Aleutian Islands town of Unalaska. As the Washington Post's Scott Nover and Karen Brilliard reported over the weekend, along with other local NPR stations on the radio and PBS television stations, it immediately broadcast alerts for residents and tourists to get to higher ground and get there immediately. By the time the Alaska Emergency Management Agency contacted Sandpoint and other island communities, the word was already out, said the agency's director, Brian Fisher, thanks to local networks of local officials on the ground working with local public radio and television stations. The earthquake struck even as senators in Washington, D.C. were back there debating whether to eliminate all of the $1.1 billion in federal funding for public broadcasting set to be doled out over the next 2 years via the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to PBS, to NPR, to local radio and television stations across the country, including, yes, many of those on our Pacifica radio network. Quote, if the funding goes away and KUCB cannot stay on the air, we lose that vital warning channel to the public, to mariners, and tourists in our coastal communities, said Alaska's emergency manager. Nonetheless, the U.S. Senate passed that bill anyway, which rescinds previously appropriated funds that had already been agreed upon by Congress via the bipartisan appropriations process, where members of Congress work together, if only because the filibuster rules in the Senate, mandating 60 votes for approving appropriations, forces them to work together to establish where taxpayer dollars will be sent. So they work together to make that decision. And yet, Republicans in Congress doing the bidding of Donald Trump decided to invoke a rarely used procedure, I think it was last used in 1999, allowing them to claw back those previously appropriated funds for the next 2 years that amount to the entirety of federal funding meant to help keep public television and radio on our public airwaves, which is especially critical, as you have just heard, in rural areas. Like the area of Alaska, where a tsunami warning had to reach people on the ground right away to keep them safe and alive, and it did thanks to public media there. Senate Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was one of only two Republicans to vote against the measure that guts the public broadcasting, citing, quote, the incredible public service that these stations provide, including, quote, emergency alerts that save human lives. And yet, Republicans had enough votes still, even without Murkowski's vote, to pass that bill anyway. And then early Friday, the House of Representatives passed the bill. They sent it to President Donald Trump for his signature. After years of Republicans threatening to cut off funding to public radio and television, well, guess what? They have now finally done it. It's done. As the Post reports, the bill's quick passage showed most Republicans falling in line behind Trump's view that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is a left-wing, quote, monstrosity. A monstrosity, apparently, when it comes to NPR stations, for example, who are also funded in no small part by contributions from the fossil fuel industry, which critics, including myself, have pointed out. Sure, they're so left-wing, they take a whole bunch of money from the fossil fuel industry to run their programs. That, of course, in my opinion, prevents them from being as aggressive as they should be in their coverage of our ever-worsening climate crisis that has led to this year's deadly summer of floods across the U.S.
Yes, because of course you wouldn't want to have your donors, your campaign ads that you get from these corporations, and have them leave you if you don't report the way that they want you to.
That they want you to. Hi, Desi Doyen.
Hi.
And still, to Donald Trump and the Republicans, despite all that, because NPR is frankly not willing to lie about facts as Donald Trump would like them to. Because of that, because they're not willing to lie, they may not tell everything, but they're not willing to just lie out and out about things. And therefore, NPR, PBS, is a left-wing, quote, monstrosity. And one that does not deserve to be, apparently, on our public airwaves, which are otherwise filled from one end to the other end of the spectrum with corporate outlets and right-wing talk radio. Outlets that are willing to lie about facts to the American people over our public airwaves. And by the way, they are allowed to do so if they want. They can go on our public airwaves and lie about it thanks to the Constitution's First Amendment, the amendment that Trump is now targeting and targeting hard in myriad ways. But not when it comes to those right-wingers telling lies over our public radio or public airwaves. They are free to do so. But the resistance from Murkowski and a handful, if that many, of other Republican lawmakers and all of the Democrats from rural states exposed an uncomfortable truth about the federal funding of the public media stations. Rural stations, often in red states, well, they depend heavily on federal funding just in order to survive. KYUK in Bethel, Alaska, for instance, depends on federal funding for 70% of its budget. Quote, "We are very much are the only place to get local news and information," said Emily Schwing, a longtime investigative reporter in Alaska who is now working at KYUK. She said, "If there's an emergency alert, it comes from us." Like other stations in Alaska, KYUK broadcasts in indigenous languages, too, providing what Schwing calls, quote, "the only official central Yup'ik translator in the region." Jason Beauchore, a commercial agriculture manager who runs a large grain elevator, lives in what he calls Montana's forlorn eastern fringes, an area of vast wheat farms where temperatures drop to minus 50 degrees in the winter. A rare Democrat in his heavily Republican region, he has just one station saved on his truck's radio. That would be Prairie Public, the closest public radio affiliate broadcast out of Williston, North Dakota. He feels confident that many of his Republican neighbors are, in fact, quote, closet NPR consumers, he said. Lloyd Larson, a Republican member of the Wyoming legislature in the center of the state, said broadband brought YouTube and the rest of the internet to this county. But he added that since it's challenging to find anything that is specific to your area, Wyoming public television, which can be streamed online, fills those gaps, he said. He's a fan, for example, of Wyoming Chronicle, a weekly program of interviews with notable locals produced by Wyoming PBS. He's also been impressed with the station's interviews with state lawmakers, and its weather warnings, he said, are critical. Larson has served on appropriations committees in the Republican-dominated state legislature, and they have consistently allocated funding for Wyoming public television. We'll see if that continues now that Trump has cut off those left-wing monstrosities from federal funding. For the Republican Larson, he says, "We try to do our part in supporting Wyoming public television. We think it has real value. It has," he added, "done some great documentaries on mental health, on issues that are very, very important to Wyoming, and how they'll be able to do that moving forward," he said, "is going to be a challenge." The content derided by Republican members of Congress as overly liberal, he said, well, that does not dominate on the broadcasts in Wyoming, the nation's reddest state. While public TV and radio stations in much of rural America do not depend on federal funding as heavily as their Alaska counterparts, the cuts will hit many of them hard in Colorado's Four Corners region. KSUT gets 20% of its funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or at least it used to. They serve multiple communities and indigenous tribes across the vast area in the from the lands of the Southern Ute tribe. The station operates two distinct signals, one for tribal programming and another for broader public radio. They reach about 250,000 potential listeners across the remote terrain where many lack reliable internet or cell service. So, yes, there still is a need for public radio and television. They cover an area that extends into Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and they say it is costly. It takes eight different tower sites to serve that huge region with a good signal. Stations now have until only October 1, just months away at this point, the beginning of the federal fiscal year, to figure out how to either replace that funding or make drastic cuts to programming and staff, or maybe shut down altogether.
I mean, really, if you're going to have to run eight different transmitters, that costs money for electricity and repairs and equipment. That alone costs money.
It does. It costs us a lot of money here at KPFK. I'll try to get to that in a little bit. But the broadcaster's role in emergencies, something we've discussed a lot on this show, goes often beyond just, you know, relaying official warnings. In Alaska, for example, stations sometimes are one-person shops with a general manager and an engineer and an on-air talent all combined into one. The Fisher from the Alaska station said, we're able to call into the radio station, get on the air, share information about evacuation, sheltering, if FEMA is coming. You just can't replace that with an automated system, he said. The reliability of radio becomes even more critical when there are connectivity problems, like in western North Carolina. You may recall last year they dealt with the impacts of Hurricane Helene. Blue Ridge Public Radio broadcast live for weeks, even when power and internet and cell service failed across the region. Well, will they get to continue to do that? Will they continue to serve those people in need when a hurricane hits? The fundraising challenges facing rural stations like those are steep. Kate Riley, the president of American Public Television Station, says the funding disparity makes rural stations particularly vulnerable. She said these smaller, more rural serving stations are more reliant on federal funding because there are not as many people for them to raise money from when they need to hit up viewers and listeners. There's just not a big population base for them to turn to. The Alaska reporter, Schwing, noted that Alaska regions served by KYUK include some of the poorest areas in the U.S. And none of this is about saving the government money. It's not about cutting costs. It's not about trimming the bloated federal government. The cost for these stations through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the cuts to them offset about 0.03% of the budget that Republicans just passed this month that took health care and food away from tens of millions of Americans who can least afford it. It gave $4 trillion in tax cuts, mostly to the wealthy, and it added some almost $3.5 trillion, according to the Congressional Budget Office, to the national debt, which Republicans, at least when they're not in power, claim to be, you know, claim that it's, oh, that's a grave danger to the nation. We've got to lower our debt and deficits. And yet they increased it by $3.4 trillion about a week ago. All of that while choosing to cut the federal government's entire contribution of barely over $1 billion in federal funding over the next 2 years to critical public radio and television stations all over this country. Quote, if this was coming from a national crisis with our budget, that's one thing, said Marsha Porter Norton, a county commissioner in Colorado's La Plata County, who said that the local KSUT station there provides perspectives on Native American communities that traditional media often misses, adding, quote, but I think it's unconscionable that these cuts to something that we all value so much are happening because of ideology. Remember, this is not about the government saving taxpayer dollars. Trump himself said that these stations should be cut off because they represent left-wing monstrosities. And if that isn't a violation of the Constitution's First Amendment, its free speech and freedom of the press clause, well, I do not know what is. Don't cut them off to save money. Cut them off because they're left-wing monstrosities. And nonetheless, that is apparently, well, now done. Coincidentally, as our local Pacifica radio flagship station, KPFK, here in Los Angeles, is about to begin our latest fund drive tomorrow, as our transmitters on Mount Wilson here in LA have been facing, well, long overdue maintenance needs that has all too frequently in recent months and years resulted in our live signal on the otherwise most powerful transmitter west of the Mississippi to have to lower the power and lower the breadth of our signal across Southern California as a result. Add that to, I suspect many of you already know, about the cuts that we've had to make to this station here in Los Angeles, the recent sale of our building we operated out of for 60 years until this year, as we now broadcast out of a makeshift replacement facility for the time being, for at least as long as we can afford to do so. But many of our listeners, since we are syndicated nationally, are listening on other stations. Many of them are low-power stations or rural operations that are also fighting to stay alive, fighting to stay on your public airwaves. Amid an unprecedented, lawless, authoritarian takeover of this nation's governing apparatus and the private corporate entities as well that have long worked with the government to broadcast over our public airwaves. We have been reporting for months on the broadcast, often in some detail, on the Trump administration's closure of Voice of America and its various sister networks that have been broadcasting around the globe in dozens of languages to hundreds of millions of listeners, often in foreign authoritarian nations, without access to a free press in those places. They've been doing so since World War II, when Voice of America, VOA, was stood up, in fact, to counter the fake news being broadcast by the Nazis across Europe. And since the Cold War, across Eastern Europe and into the Soviet Union, on the VOA sister network, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Within days of taking office, the Trump administration laid off hundreds of workers from Voice of America, from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, from the Middle East Broadcasting Networks, and the Voice of Asia, despite the legal congressional mandate that funds VOA and the other networks and requires that they broadcast accurate, objective, and comprehensive news and information without bias. That is written into law. And yet, Donald Trump is shutting them down. I guess he describes them as a left-wing monstrosity as well. But it means that Voice of America and the others who are legally required to broadcast facts and the truth, and they may not knowingly lie to their listeners or their readers, despite requiring them to tell the truth in law, the Trump administration, lawfully or otherwise, even as legal challenges continue in the district courts, well, they have simply silenced those airwaves for the first time in several generations, the first time after more than 80 years of broadcasting around the globe on Voice of America. In a stern ruling on Friday, in one of those challenges to that shutdown, the judge rebuked the Trump administration for refusing to disperse funding that Congress had already appropriated. The U.S. District Court judge ordered the Trump administration to restore funding for Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, the federally funded newsroom that provides independent reporting in countries with limited press freedom like Russia and Iran and Afghanistan. The judge, Judge Royce Lamberth, berated the Trump administration in his ruling. He called its legal arguments, quote, nonsensical, and its decision to withhold funds, quote, unprecedented. The administration's disengagement, quote, makes a mockery of the laws that govern federal agency actions, the judge wrote. We'll see what happens, and if Voice of America gets stood back up, Voice of America, which broadcasts news across the world in 49 languages. But that is also what Donald Trump is trying to shut down and has, in fact, when it comes to Voice of America and some of these other sister stations, has succeeded in doing, succeeded in silencing them around the globe for the first time in more than 80 years.
Yeah, and that's also, by the way, a gift to the leaders of authoritarian countries. Voice of America and its sister stations around the world are often the only source of non-state-owned news around the world, especially in these authoritarian countries, that is delivered in their own language so they can actually understand it and understand the nuances of what is happening.
Correct. And now a judge has said, knock it off, at least when it comes to RFERL, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Do you think they'll follow that order of the district court? Do you think? Or, like in so many other legal challenges to this administration that they have lost at the U.S. District Court level, at the appeals court level, do you suspect, as I do, that they're simply going to ignore the court orders? Unlawfully, but that is what they have done because they don't give a damn about law and order, and they will ignore what the courts have to say until the case makes its way up to the corrupted U.S. Supreme Court, where the activist judges on the right, three of them appointed by Trump himself, well, they'll merely invent some new constitutional provision that nobody has ever heard of before to allow the Trump administration what the Trump administration wants to do, no matter how lawful, and in the case of media, no matter how much it violates the Constitution's free speech and freedom of the press clause. Trump has cut off funding for NPR and PBS, and yes, some of the Pacifica Radio affiliates that receive funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and he has silenced the Voice of America and its affiliate networks around the globe, all of which provide news and information that, while imperfect, is otherwise generally accurate and certainly critical and not otherwise available in many locations. But of course, those are not the only voices that our authoritarian wannabe king, wannabe dictator is now silencing and or hoping to silence. 2 weeks ago, while he was on summer vacation, late-night talk show host Stephen Colbert's network, CBS, currently owned by Paramount, which is in the final stages of being purchased by a company called Skydance, agreed to settle for $16 million with Donald Trump, who had sued the network and its 60 Minutes program falsely claiming that they deceptively edited an interview that they broadcast just before the election last year with Kamala Harris. It's a ridiculous lawsuit. It has zero merit, none. For those of us who viewed the actual footage that he's talking about and who remember that Trump, who was scheduled to be interviewed on that very same show, that very same night, that he dropped out just prior, seemingly because he knew that he would not be able to get away with his usual lies and BS that he can get away with on Fox News, that he wasn't going to be able to get away with it on 60 Minutes. To distract from that, Trump filed a completely frivolous $10 billion lawsuit against 60 Minutes and CBS. It's ridiculous. But thanks to their corporate parent, Paramount, now needing approval from the Federal Communications Commission for this merger, an FCC that is supposed to be independent, but of course it is not in the Donald Trump era. Because of that, Paramount agreed to settle that lawsuit last week, a suit that would have been laughed out of court in about 2 minutes had it actually gone to trial. They settled it by paying off $16 million to Donald Trump's presidential library. And when Stephen Colbert returned to the air last Monday night, he accurately had this to say, in part, about the settlement or the, quote, big fat bribe that was paid by Paramount to Donald Trump to settle this case.
While I was on vacation, my parent corporation, Paramount, paid Donald Trump a $16 million settlement over his 60 Minutes lawsuit. As someone who has always been a proud employee of this network, I am offended. And I don't know if anything will ever repair my trust in this company. But just taking a stab at it, I'd say $16 million would help. This settlement This settlement is for a nuisance lawsuit Trump filed claiming that 60 Minutes deceptively edited their interview with then-candidate Kamala Harris last fall. Paramount knows they could have easily fought it because, in their own words, the lawsuit was completely without merit. Unlike the payoffs from ABC and Twitter, Paramount settlement did not include an apology. Instead, that's good. Instead, the corporation released a statement where they said, "You may take our money, but you will never take our dignity. You may, however, purchase our dignity for the low, low price of $16 million. We need the cash." Now, I believe this kind of complicated financial settlement with a sitting government official has a technical name in legal circles. It's big fat bribe. Because this all comes as Paramount's owners are trying to get the Trump administration to approve the sale of our network to a new owner, Skydance. And some of the TV typers out there are blogging that once Skydance gets CBS, the new owner's desire to please Trump could put pressure on late-night host and frequent Trump critic Stephen Colbert.
Now, that was pretty funny on Monday night. And it got boos from the audience, the idea that they would target Stephen Colbert. But just two nights later, on Thursday, I believe it was, Colbert opened his show with this disturbing announcement.
Before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. And yeah, I share your feelings. It's not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say that the folks at CBS have been great partners. I'm so grateful to the Tiffany Network for giving me this chair and this beautiful theater to call home.
Now, Stephen Colbert happened to be, in addition to a big critic of Donald Trump, he happened to be, the king of late night. He has been number one in the ratings for months, for years, actually. We still don't know if CBS was actually pressured into firing Colbert as part of that deal or simply offered him up as a sacrifice to appease Trump's FCC, as Ben Schwartz notes at The Nation today. Despite the timing and the billion-dollar stakes around the Skydance deal, CBS executive George Cheeks denied that the move was political. He insisted the cancellation was, quote, purely a financial decision.
I'll bet it was.
Right. Getting approval of its new merger would also count as a purely financial decision. As Schwartz notes, CBS went to great lengths to avoid apologizing or admitting wrongdoing on behalf of 60 Minutes when it paid Trump $60 million, $16 million. If CBS wants to avoid embarrassing employees who did nothing wrong, why fire Colbert just days after his widely quoted comment? By calling his firing a purely financial decision, CBS execs want to distance themselves from the impression that they were only following the balance sheets. They had to know that their timing on that would look more like groveling, notes Schwartz. They could have waited another week. Why announce 3 days after Colbert attacked them and Trump? What's the hurry? Well, the hurry, as Schwartz reports, is that Colbert called the payoff, quote, a big fat bribe on Monday, and Skydance executives on Tuesday met with the FCC, with the chair, Donald Trump's appointed chair, Brendan Carr. At that meeting, an FCC filing states that Ellison, the Skydance executive in this case, and his lawyer, quote, discussed Skydance's commitment to unbiased journalism and its embrace of diverse viewpoints, principles that will ensure CBS's editorial decision-making reflects the varied ideological perspectives of American viewers. They went out of their way to tell that to the chair of Donald Trump's FCC. Right, Schwartz, perhaps it's just another incredible scheduling coincidence, but that promise of unbiased journalism came just days after Skydance had held early acquisition talks with a woman named Barry Weiss for her far-right conservative site called The Free Press. As the media industry newsletter Puck asked about that meeting, quote, is it sound business or just savvy virtue signaling in a Trump 2.0 world? One can ask the very same question about firing Stephen Colbert, notes Schwartz. At The Nation, with only tea leaves to read for now, it sure looks like the Skydance media behemoth that we're about to get with Skydance owner Larry Ellison, a longtime Trump supporter, and Elon Musk Twitter investor hovering over it, will take a decidedly far-right tilt over at CBS. And if it turns out anything at all like Ellison's Twitter investment, it will be a truly ugly tilt. Trump took to the to Truth Social on Friday to crow about the scalp that he received from CBS. He said, quote, "I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings," he wrote before going on to say, "I hear ABC's Jimmy Kimmel is next." You'll recall, by the way, that ABC also agreed to settle a ridiculously frivolous lawsuit with Trump. And for the record, Colbert has long been at the top, the top-rated late-night talk show host. So claims about his ratings from Donald Trump are absurd, something that I suspect if you only get your news from Donald Trump and his favorite news sources, well, you might not know that. He has also been a huge critic of Donald Trump. So he has defunded public radio and television. He has shut down the Voice of America and its sister networks around the globe. He has entered into corrupt bargains with so far two of the three top broadcasting networks, CBS and ABC, to make their news operations think twice about reporting accurately on information that Donald Trump may not want people to hear. And now he is gunning for their entertainment divisions as well, all of which runs wildly afoul of the freedom of speech and free press clauses of the U.S. Constitution. And any and all of this would be virtually unthinkable in any other administration going back to the founding of this country. This from an administration that falsely, laughably claims to be a protector of freedom of free speech, freedom of speech. Donald Trump, if you have not noticed, is systematically dismantling the free press in the United States. It is happening now. This is not a warning. It is happening now. And if you think it's only left-wing commentary that he is systematically shutting down, not only are the news outlets he has shut down already or in the process of shutting down not actually left-wing, they're simply not right-wing, but he's now gunning for the right-wing outlets that he does not like, that do not report as Donald Trump wants them to report. On Friday, Trump filed another frivolous $10 billion defamation lawsuit, this time against the Wall Street Journal, its parent company, News Corp, which also owns Fox News, and its owner, Rupert Murdoch, along with the two Wall Street Journal reporters, for its story last Thursday night on a birthday card that Donald Trump allegedly penned to his former longtime very close friend, sex trafficker and alleged pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, for his 50th birthday, in which Trump is said to have drawn a sketch of a naked woman and discussed the, quote, wonderful secrets that the two of them purportedly share. As Trump is attempting to prevent his Department of Justice from releasing hundreds of thousands of pages and video recordings of evidence in the criminal indictment against Jeffrey Epstein, who was said to have killed himself in prison in 2019 following his arrest on sex trafficking charges. In a case that Trump and his supporters have used for years to claim that high-profile Democrats were being named and being protected by the DOJ, Democrats being protected, even though Epstein's arrest and death happened during Donald Trump's first term in office. After claiming during the campaign that, yes, he would release the Epstein files, his DOJ, completely controlled by him, said about 2 weeks ago they would not release the so-called Epstein client list or anything else related to the case, declaring it to be case closed. And many of Trump's own supporters are now furious at him. And for the first time, a real rift seems to be settling into MAGA world against Donald Trump. How long that lasts, well, that remains to be seen. But if you'd like to talk about that or anything else, my phones are open to you at 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK in our live listening area. Hit number one to join us on the air. But in the bigger picture that I'm trying to highlight here, there is no longer just a theoretical hatred of the mainstream media or the so-called left-wing media on the right. That has been the story for years when it comes to Republicans. This is a real, live, ongoing assault, a real, live gutting of the media, especially the news media and the free press, playing out right now before our very eyes. The man who we selected to be in charge of the White House is using that power right now to gut American media and the free press. Right now. Not in some dystopian, Orwellian, you know, 1984 future, or this is not a prediction, this is not a warning. This is happening now, from top to bottom. From left to right, to government funding to private funding. This is happening right here and now under this president, on all of our watches, as directed by this president. From America's media voice around the world to public media here in the U.S. over PBS and NPR, shutting down actual stations, to terrorizing major broadcast networks like CBS and ABC, forcing them to pay up millions of dollars to the president himself in the form of donations supposedly given to his presidential library for him to use as he sees fit. $40 million documentary being made about First Lady Melania Trump, a ridiculous sum for any documentary, but certainly this one, being made by Jeff Bezos's Amazon movie studio, which also Bezos owns the Washington Post and has gutted its editorial page in order to please Donald Trump to only run stories now, as they have said, about how wonderful supposed free market capitalism is. And anybody who does not want to write about that has had to leave the once storied publication. To, yes, removing late-night comedy hosts critical of Donald Trump, who is even suing right-wing media outlets now, which do not march in step with whatever the White House wants them to, no matter how much of a lie it might be. Do you think any of this is going to stop here? It is not. Got thoughts on this? Give me a call. My phones, of course, and our public airwaves here, as long as I'm allowed an hour of it, are always open to folks who agree with me or who do not. But are you paying attention? Trump is a liar and a menace to the American public, to our constitutional values, like freedom of the press and freedom of speech that America has long stood for. Are you paying attention? Do you see what is going on? 818-985-5735 if you'd like to ring in. If you're listening later on one of our affiliate stations or via podcast, you can also drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on social media, especially Blue Sky, at the Brad Blog. Just like climate change, with a few million more Americans this week, which a few Americans can tell you is very real, a very real thing, as they fight against record heat and rain and fires and flooding. This is not a drill any longer. It is real. It is happening now. 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and The Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently, without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Keep those cards and letters going out while your secretary's tempting you. Your morals are exempting you from guilt and shame. Heaven knows you're not to blame. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan? Get down to business, Mr. Businessman. If you can do.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. 818-985-5735 is our phone number if you want to ring in. Yes, as usual, I went a little bit long, but there was a lot to cover. So let me get right to the phones here. Let me get to Leah in Los Angeles. Hey, Leah, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, how are you? I love you on the radio. You are, always have great messaging. I wanted to agree with you and say, but my opinion is that Democrats and other people with money who don't like what's happening need to step up and need to pay and keep and get much more on the air, much more online, much more exposed, because they constantly feed so many lies to people and attack Democrats a lot. And one of the reasons I'd say they want to wipe these stations out and everything is so the only thing these people ever hear is this craziness of and this constant put down and saying Democrats hate America and all, which is the biggest lie. It's ridiculous.
It is indeed. Well said. Thank you, Leah. You're absolutely right. They cannot tolerate any view but their own. And by the way, while they claim that the media is liberal, they already dominate across the nation and across our public airwaves, whether they're corporate run or publicly run by public radio stations. Thanks for that call, Leah. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Harold in Santa Barbara. Hey, Harold, welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Yeah, point of clarification. You know, Santa Barbara, people think it's metropolitan area. I'm not sure what people think, but it is hard to get any radio stations. And I still, if you're not on cable, you only get one TV station. I think that's Channel 3. Well, it's Channel 7 LA. But I agree with your caller. We have to, I did support the rebuilding of the tower. We have to support you. We have to have knowledge. We have to make change. But more than anything else, we have to stick together. In my hometown of Loma Linda and Redlands, they're trying to privatize water. And that's just as crucial as almost blood. Not as crucial as alcohol, but close to it. So we got to support you so you can get the word out of what they're doing to small communities.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I want to say the story that Harold tells is true for him in his community. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of stories like it all around the country. So no matter where you are listening to the Bradcast right now, please consider supporting that outlet, supporting that station, supporting the shows that you like, that you have come to trust. This is not going to continue on its own. I think a lot of people think that, it'll never go away. Somebody will always be there to fund it. No, they won't. It's not. It is going away unless you take action to prevent that from happening, unless we all get together to prevent that from happening. Thanks, Harold. I really appreciate that call, sir. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Let me go to Al, I should say. Al in Huntington Beach. Hey, Al, welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
How'd you like to triple your listener base and your funding base?
What do you have in mind, sir?
Well, you should offer Colbert a spot on your radio station. Stop repeating Mitch Jesuits. Put him in at 4 o'clock. And all those people, you know, just by the exposure alone, you're going to get millions of more listeners.
Well, of course we would if we could put Stephen Colbert on air. I mean, we'd probably do pretty well if we, you know, were able to book Jesus Christ to host the noon hour. But I don't know that that's going to happen. Yes, go ahead.
He doesn't need the money. Yeah. He'll do it just for payback.
Okay. All right.
And then Jimmy Kimmel, too.
All
if he gets fired, let him split the hour. You know, first half, Jimmy Kimmel. Second half, Stephen Colbert.
All right.
And one other thing about Epstein.
Yeah.
Trump's going to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell because he's going to sweep it under the rug.
Mm.
So we got to get the evidence files released. That's where all the phone logs and the financial documents.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to catch her, man.
Well, that is why she's keeping quiet down there. I'm sure she's hoping for that pardon. And if it comes, and I wouldn't be surprised if it comes, it'll come on his last day in office, Probably.
Exactly.
Thanks, Al. All right. I appreciate the call, my friend. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to John in Panorama City. Hey, John, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, hi, Brad. Well, you know, I'm outraged about the Colbert firing, not only, you know, but about free speech, but what he's doing to a comedy. I mean, you know, it's a unconstitutional erasure of comedy. I think we should organize all the comedians and a lot of people who are First Amendment folks do. Mm-hmm. Each one of us buy one share of Paramount. And at the next meeting, you know, we should raise hell and demand a new board of directors and that the directors step down and, you know, develop a new independent pro-free speech, pro-comedy policy. What do you think? You want to buy a share?
Well, not a bad idea, but it's going to take a lot of people, and it's going to take a lot of shares, and it's not just Paramount and CBS and Skydance, unfortunately. It's also ABC and Washington Post and Jeff Bezos and ABC and Walt Disney. You know, I don't think we actually can take them over in that sense financially, but we can shame the hell out of them. We can stop buying their products where appropriate. We can fight like hell to stay on our public media by supporting those stations that you're listening on to make sure we don't disappear during this long twilight fight against fascism, against authoritarianism that's happening here. So that's what we need to do. But I'm open to all kinds of ideas. Sure, buy a share of Skydance and then raise holy hell.
Well, yeah, you got to be at that at the annual meeting, and you know,
yeah,
it'll be make news and hurt them and maybe correct course. I mean, there's a big people who are Paramount shareholders now who are suing over the $16 million settlement.
Good. Go get them. Thanks, John. I appreciate that call,
thank
brother.
All right.
Hang in there. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Fernando in San Bernardino. Hey, Fernando. Welcome to the broadcast.
Brad, how's it going? Good to hear from you. I'm a fan. For as long as you're allowed to be there for us. First time I hear you, and I've loved everything so far. I just don't like the fact that our constitutional rights are being stepped all over by this president. This is not a kingdom where he's the king and do whatever he wants. I mean, why is he allowed to do this? I'm getting the feeling here that the middle class and the broke-ass low class, we are being treated as we're heading to a socialist country, and all his rich homeboys are getting away with whatever they want because they're all rich, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a vet. I'm a veteran, and we need to start something to where the next president comes from the military, because he speaks about immigration. Well, what's his wife? Where did she come from?
Well, she's obviously an immigrant, probably an illegal immigrant, as they like to describe them. So
right.
was his buddy
exactly.
Elon Musk. They all violated the law in ways that if they weren't
right.
married to or buddies with the president, they would be fighting their deportation right now. Having them be members of the military, that said, Fernando, we've had a lot of presidents who have served in the military. I'm not sure that would help. You know what? Something's got to happen. Something's got to give. And how about we split the difference, Fernando? Not necessarily somebody who has served in the military, which is fine by me, but how about someone who doesn't hate the military, who wasn't a draft dodger like Donald Trump?
Right.
Can we split that
That's
difference?
True.
All right.
That too, you're right there as well.
All right.
I just don't like how he's turning all of America against each other. I have a friend who recently sold his business because he's still working the same long hours, but the profit went down 50%. So how is he making America great again? He's only making it great to his rich homeboys.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
All the rich people that are out there with loads of money, if you got money and you can invest a lot and donate me a lot, then it's okay.
Yep.
You're good.
Yep.
My father, rest in peace, used to say, when the rich man is drunk, he's tipsy. When the broke man is drunk, he's a drunk. So Is that what it is here?
Yeah.
It's okay because they're rich?
Of course.
And we're the middle
Correct.
And below that middle class
Correct.
And we're struggling?
Correct. Correct. They don't give a damn about you, Fernando. I do.
I
appreciate it, brother. Thank you. Thank you for that call, sir.
Thank you, man. Thank you for your show. I'll be tuned in as long as we can.
God love you. Thank you, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to who do I have here? Rusty in Cambria. Hey, Rusty, welcome to the broadcast. I've got just a minute or two, so you'll have to be quick about it. Sorry.
All right, no problem. I just want to address this, our loss of freedoms and our loss of our amendments and all that.
Yep.
So I wonder if you guys could give an example, because I hear a lot of people saying we're losing our freedoms, but right now we're on the radio talking about how we don't like you.
Yeah, we are on the radio talking about that. That's correct. But all of the stations that are losing their funding as of October 1 may very well not be on the air talking about it. You have found me. You have found the broadcast. You have found KPFK and Pacific Radio. God love you. But good luck finding me anywhere else across this country. We're on a bunch of stations. But where I may have 30 affiliate stations, the right-wingers who lie to their audience every day, minute after minute, hour after hour, are on hundreds and thousands of stations across this country. That's just one example. And the president of the United States called for those, for the few public radio stations that are left, called for them to be cut off because they are left-wing monstrosities. That is the perfect example of a violation of the Constitution's free speech clause. Is it not, Rusty? He's gone? He got out.
Yeah, unfortunately, his phone disconnected.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry, Rusty. Well, I'm sure he would have had a good answer, and I'm sure it would have kept the discussion moving forward. Rusty, give us a call next time around. We'd love to hear from you and everyone else. My apologies for those that I could not get to today. I know a lot of folks wanted to get in. My apologies for that, but we will keep the lines of communication open. You can drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com or find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at the Brad Blog. My thanks to all of the callers who reached out today. It's greatly appreciated. My thanks to our board operator, Wendell Handy. Well done, sir. To our producer, Desi Doyen, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download them anytime for free at bradblog.com. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.